Welcome to another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast with your hosts, Ryan Dangle.
You picked a tie? What are we, true, in Europe?
Soccer? Well, ties happen in the NFL, man.
They're called draws, right? Yeah, no, dude, why? Why are we doing? No, absolutely not. All right, well, you got to keep your own record now because I don't have a tie column. I got a win-loss column.
Patrick Sheldon.
I say that because the flashlight emanating and beaming from the steaming pile of shit was today's game is David Montgomery. He is the flashlight in my pile of poop.
Brendan Chagrou.
So our buddy Brendan, who writes for USA Today, I have always screwed up his last name. Brendan. Brendan.
And Jack Wright.
Sorry, Captain Flus over there.
I'm not Captain
Flus. So you're not excited, Jack. You're not excited about having Sarah Spain.
Yeah,
on
wow.
Show.
Maybe no, I have talent. Is that what we found out?
Featuring Cam Ellis.
Once I was like trying to get a happy answer out of him, and I was like, "Hey, man, like, do you take out of these situations? Like, what is it like to know that like you're this beloved that like these videos are going viral?" And he was just like, "I don't do it for that attention." And then they just took the next question, and I was just like, "Okay, like, I'm gonna melt into my seat and never come back here ever again."
And Logan Bradley.
Bears rich history defensively, a lot of good linebackers. First round draft pick, hell of a player, a Bear that is going to go down in history. Nobody's going to forget. I am bringing back Shea McClellan.
The Bear Down Chicago podcast. Yeah, we're that Bears podcast.
All right, folks, welcome into another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Now, I am your host, Ryan Dangle. I remember how to do this. I was talking with the boys before we hit record, before we hit live, to say, how do I do this per se? There's been a lot going on, a lot of Bear stuff. We've got an awesome guest for all of you, which I'm stoked to talk about. I didn't recognize this guy, and I don't think any of you are going to recognize this guy the second I bring him on the stage. Let's bring on Patrick Sheldon. Now, if you want to find Patrick Sheldon on Twitter, it's at @P_Shells. If you want to find me on Twitter, it's at Ryan Dengel. That's D-E-N-G-E-L. Now, folks, we are streaming on Twitter. We are streaming on YouTube. We are also on audio only. If you want to go check us out on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get your podcasts, we are probably there. Patrick Sheldon, I miss your face. I miss your musk. How are you, brother?
I'm doing great, man. Yeah, I upgraded. I thought for my return to the show, I would cover up as much as my ugly mug as possible. So I've been growing this out. I told you guys it's been a couple of days I've been growing this out. And it's been a minute. But I'm lazy now and I don't want to shave it. So I've probably got another 2 months of this. And then we'll cut it off. But I've been doing great, man. I miss you guys. I'm glad to be back. It's been a long time.
Honestly, that's the thing that I was thinking about more than anything. Yes, I'm stoked to talk Bears. Ryan McHugh, we had him on last time. Dude knows his stuff. He's so freaking good. And I'm so excited to talk to him. All of that. But I miss the boys, man. I miss the boys. So let's bring on to stage also Jack Wright. Now, if you want to find Jack on Twitter, it's at @BearDownJack. Dude, you're like on every podcast imaginable that covers the Bears, except for ours.
Well, I mean, I think we're kind of like, we're hibernating a bit, rightfully so. There's not much to talk about, but there's some great things to talk about for tonight, for sure, especially with our guests. But yeah, did a great Around the Division podcast with the guys at the Royal Alliance. They're fantastic. And they had a Minnesota guy on, a Detroit guy on, a Green Bay guy. So that was really fun. And then last night I was on with Michael Helitek talking Bears.
The Green Bay guy who I already asked, he's coming onto our show. Like, that's got to be our Green Bay. He is so good. He's so smart. Like, he knows his stuff. Dude, it was a great episode. I was really impressed with the knowledge of the NFC North. And honestly, like, it's probably going to put to shame anything that we're going to do here in a couple weeks.
They were good. I agree with you. And the Green Bay guy wasn't, how do I say this? He wasn't a pompous asshat. So that was especially great to have him be like very, I think he was very objective about Green Bay.
check out Roar of the Lions. Good, good friends at Roar of the Lions. Those guys are amazing. They're so good at what they do. You're like, wait, they're in the UK? They know more about American football than most American football fans. They're so freaking good at what they do. Check them out. Love them. All right. So, boys, before we thank our sponsors, I got to hear it. Give me the quick 30, 45-second-ish wrap-up of your off-season so far. Shells and Jack, tell me what's going on, boys.
Yeah, so I mean, if you've followed our pod for a minute, you know that like my life revolves around my kids' baseball, and that's all we've been doing. Season just ended last weekend, and we've got a little bit of a lull until like All-Stars start and then the fall season. So I'm going to enjoy about a week of nothing, and then we'll get back into some training and back in the full swing. So I've just been, you know, with the kids, man. Ryan. When you got little ones, it's kind of, they're your world. So, that's all I've been doing. And then just getting fired up about the Bears. I got the, Sunday ticket email from YouTube, just reminding me about my renewal. So, you know, it's close. You can smell it.
All right, Jack, sorry, just really quick. And Ryan McHugh, I know you're hanging out in the back room. Just give us 1 second, but I have to tell this story. And I've been waiting to tell this story. In baseball, you made me think of it. So a good mutual friend of ours, his name is Colin. Colin coaches high school baseball. And I don't remember if he's got the JV, the sophomore. It doesn't matter, right? We're not talking like the upper echelon of baseball. He's got those guys. So he's watching it. And I don't fully understand baseball. You guys know this. I'm not even pretend that I do. But I guess the opposing pitcher like twitched or something like that. And that's supposed to be like something is supposed to happen.
A balk?
Doesn't matter, right? You with me so far? Right. Something is supposed to happen. And Colin, who is the calmest, chillest, like most wonderful, like calm guy you're ever going to meet, is like, hey, excuse me, Mr. Umpire. Like that's supposed to be something, right? And the umpire is like, well, yeah, I'll check the book when I get home. And Colin, very persistent but also very calm, is like, well, hey, but I understand, but I just want to let you know it's this. And the ump goes, well, you want me to go check the book right now? And Colin's like, oh yeah, that would be great, thinking the dude's gonna like just take a quick like look behind his like bag and grab the book and do it. Dude walks off the field, goes to the red light, pushes the button, sits and waits for, I don't know, a minute or two, walks across the street, goes to his car, gets in the car and leaves. It's the bottom of the seventh inning, which that's all high school baseball plays. And it's a one run game at with Ben. He's just like, he just left. He just left. He's like, and as he gets to the street light, he goes, you guys want perfection. Something to that matter. Gosh. Sorry, I've been taking up way too much time. Jack, tell us about your offseason so far.
That's hilarious. I had not heard that story. Man, that guy, talk about being on a power trip. Well, let's stick with baseball just briefly. Like our guest, So I have been a long-time diehard White Sox fan, but I'm taking a break. I'm a lapsed Catholic and a lapsed White Sox fan. So I went to the Chicago Cubs game the other night for the first time in a while, and as much as I hate to admit it, holy crap, have they done it right around Wrigley. And on before and after the game, Clark Street feels like Vegas or Mardi Gras. I mean, the whole place was just electric. Listen, let's be real clear, there's no chance of me switching over. None, not a single chance. I just love baseball, and it was super fun to go to a baseball game and be there with friends and have kind of a party atmosphere to it. So far that was a highlight for me. It was really fun.
I hate crowds. They make me nervous. So what did we do? We went to Disney. Wow, boys, that was an experience. So the cool thing was watching my daughter just lose her mind every time a princess just walked anywhere, and that part was awesome, but she lost it on the way there. We had a 5-hour delay at the airport. So I have two kids under 3 years old, and we'd have a 5-hour delay. Absolutely. Just not fun. Not fun at all. That's kind of been it for me. You know, I got into college lacrosse. My wife's cousin played for Maryland, who was in the national championship. They got smoked, but it was really cool to like to watch, like, oh my God, I know this kid, you know, watch him play in that. So that was a lot of fun. That's it. That's my off season. We got some people to thank because we got a phenomenal guest and I am stoked, absolutely stoked to talk to him. So first one that we got to talk to is our guy that's been with us since the beginning, Jeff Cadwallader. Now, if you've ever watched this podcast before, and if you haven't, thank you so much for joining us. And if you have, you've heard me say Jeff Cadwallader's name over and over again. And every once in a while, you're like, all right, Dangle, you're kind of an excitable person. And you say, Jeff is the best. No, you don't understand. Jeff is the absolute best. You have any questions about real estate? Give him a call, give him a text, check out his website, whatever you want to do, reach out to Jeff. If it's you think it's a stupid question, reach out to Jeff, right? And if you're thinking, I want to buy or sell, whether that be commercial or real estate, right? Because if you're a business owner, a homeowner, investor, you're looking to buy, sell, or lease commercial or residential properties, Jeff is your guy because he is our guy. Give him a call, give him a text, Jeff with SVN Landmark today at 630-254-4734. Visit GenevaJeff.com. If you do talk to Jeff Cadwallader, can you let him know that the guys of the Bear Down Chicago podcast said hello? We would appreciate it, and I know Jeff sure would appreciate it very, very much.
Sheridan's Barbershop, located in historic downtown Wheaton, Illinois, has been serving the community since 1954 with six barbers. Sheridan's is open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. They have appointments available to book online or by phone at your convenience. You could go to Sheridan'sBarbershop.com or you could call 630-668-0137 and book your appointment there. You could also go to Naperville, Hensel's Barbershop, located in downtown Naperville since 1966. There are six barbers at that particular shop. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. They accept walk-ins, or you can make an appointment. You could go to Hensel'sBarbershop.com. I just want to mention really quickly, our guy Will, we talk about him a lot. He cuts my hair, he cuts Ryan's hair. The thing that Will can do, especially if you're a guy who's had maybe the same haircut your whole life and you don't know what you want to switch it up to, perhaps you want to change, but you don't know how to go about it, Will is a master at that. He will immediately take a look at you, your hairstyle, the way that it lays, et cetera. I mean, he really is an expert at it. So if you're like on the fence and thinking, I want to get a haircut, I want to do something different, not sure where to go, this is the most honest I've been about anything probably ever on the show. You should go see Will either in Wheaton or at Naperville at either Sheridan's or Hensel's, where traditional meets modern.
Dude, I'll never go to a great clips ever again in my life. Once you get a barber, like you're like, why? Like, what's the big deal? Get a barber and get our barbers at Sheridan's or Hensel's. Those guys are amazing. Okay, made him wait long enough, and I'm so excited to talk to him. So Coach Ryan McHugh, he coaches offensive line. He's also the associate head coach for the Hinsdale Central Red Devils. There, that is a tough, for any of you that are outside of Illinois, it is one of the toughest divisions, one of the one of the toughest conferences in the entire state. And I know he's so damn good at what he does, and we are thrilled to have him on. Coach Ryan McHugh. Coach, how are you? Uh-oh. And you are, I don't know if you're muted right now, but we cannot hear you. Am I crazy? Am I the only one? Can you guys hear him?
I can't. Doesn't look like he's muted, but I'm not able to hear him either.
Coach, take a minute, see if you can get it figured out, and we'll see what we can do. I know, so yeah, it's he's actually not muted. And so, Coach, you with us?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. How are you? And you just went away again. That's all right. It's okay. All right, so coached Kieran Amagaje. You can give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down if that pronunciation was halfway decent, Coach. Amagaje. Hey, oh, it's okay. It's mid. All right, so we'll take it. That's all right. Hey, seriously, no worries whatsoever. We're excited to talk to him. He got to coach him on the offensive line, which I'm always excited to talk to high school coaches. We've had a couple high school coaches on the show before. And I love the way in which they are able to look at things from, how do I say this? Like to simplify, I think, some of the really complex stuff that we kind of look at, you know what I mean, boys? And just kind of like break it down. And especially offensive line, like, I almost feel like, Jack, I know you coached high school football. It seemingly almost has to be like you're looking at it through a totally different set of eyes. Agreed?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've always said that there's this misappropriated, you know, idea that somehow offensive linemen are just big, dumb animals. If you sat in a room for offensive linemen, you know, and their coach and took a look at a film breakdown or a game plan for specifically the offensive line, it would blow your mind how much that they have to remember in terms of pass coverages, their run blocking, the communications that go up and down the line, the ability to be able to take a look specifically at the defensive front and be able to identify it, knowing where the linebackers are, picking up blitzers. There is a ton to it. I think maybe we've got Coach. Maybe.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, we got you, Coach. Let's go. Okay, hey. So total reset, right? It was a penalty on the defense. You got a brand new set of downs right now. You're ready to go. How are you? How's everything going?
I am doing great. I apologize for the technical difficulties there, but it was a great intro. I you know, Hinsdale Central and everything that we do over there, it is a tough conference, but listening to you guys just talk, Jack right there, good to see you again. I know we've had many conversations on the Twitter along with Ryan and Patrick there. But yeah, offensive line, I've done it my entire career, playing it, coaching it. And like you said, coaching high school offensive line, you got to really develop and build. And, you know, then you get up to the pros and it's how big are you? How fast can you move? And how strong can you be? But I do appreciate you guys having me on. The pronunciation, Karan Amadaje, that's the name. That's how you pronounce it. So you were close. You were right there. Amadaje. And glad to be here with you guys.
Awesome. So, Coach, let's talk you just really, really quick. You know, and I think last time you were on, we kind of got to the second part of this question before, but I want to make sure that we go after this because I'm always very curious. I know you watch the game differently. So give us a little bit your offensive line background. Obviously, we know you're the associate head coach for Hinsdale Central, and you're coaching offensive line. But did you play offensive line? You know, and if not, like, how did you learn it? Like, how did that work for you?
Yeah, no. So that's a really good question with that. My background with the offensive line, I played O-line from high school, from the minute I started playing football all the way until I was done. I played in high school at Stagg High School in Palos Hills, played tackle, guard, center, played everything. And then I was lucky enough to get a scholarship to go play at St. Xavier University on the south side of Chicago, where I was an offensive lineman, a tackle. Played a couple years there before injuries ended the career. And then once I got my start in coaching, it was right with the offensive line, right with what I knew. And that's kind of how it's been. This can be year 16 for me coaching in high school football, year six at Hinsdale. I've kind of branched out, like you said, associate coach now and working with the run game coordinated role there, but staying with the O-line, you know, it's what my passion is. It's what I love. So, that's my background with it. And I think as O-line coaches, if you can get a bunch of us on and we'll talk and, you know, most fans watch the ball and I've found this when I watch football ever since I started coaching is I'm going to stare at the line of scrimmage, you know, offense, defensive line, wherever the ball goes, I'll pick it up on the replay, but we're always watching, you know, the center, how'd the snap go, you know, is the center getting blown off the ball? You know, or who's getting beat, who's coming off the ball hard, you know, fast, denting the line of scrimmage. That's what I use with my guys. But I think that as an O-line coach, that's usually where you end up, your eyes end up getting trained to watch the O-line. And, you know, when I watch breakdown film, you know, I'm only watching the tight copy usually just so I get my O-line, D-line shot in there. And that's how I watch NFL film. I laugh that I can't ever really enjoy a game anymore, because I'm always dialed in watching the line of scrimmage.
That's like every Bears fan, though, over the last couple of years. So,
you know. Very true. Very true.
So, Coach, we're going to jump right into it. We're going to talk about the current state of the offensive line. And I'd love to get your perspective and your thoughts on the current state. I'm somewhat of a pessimist, as, you know, Ryan said, when it comes to the Bears, especially offensive line. you know, Nate Davis is on a milk carton again. Braxton had a little bit of a back issue pop up. Tevin is, you know, somewhat injury prone. And so, you know, they're the most important unit in my mind because they're protecting the Bears' most valuable investment. And so where do you assess the current state of the offensive line despite some of the upgrades this offseason?
Yeah, I kind of laughed because the last time I was here, we were talking the upgrades on the O-line and what they had come in. And I do agree. I'm probably more in that pessimistic role. Although last week when I had a chance to talk with Karan, he kind of got me feeling a little bit better on certain things. But you're right. I've been very, you know, outspoken about Nate Davis since they brought him in. I think, you know, you could look at Mike Vrabel as a pretty good, you know, for the most part, look at toughness and look at guys on the line of scrimmage. And, you know, he let him walk for nothing. And I haven't seen a ton of, you know, great work that he's come with the Bears with. I mean, he doesn't practice. So, I mean, that's a concern. Braxton Jones took, you know, he's still got to come on a little bit, I think, but he's done better than I think many would think about. Tevin, love the guy. I loved him when they picked him, but like you say, he's got to stay healthy. Can he? I don't know. You got to see it first. And the center spot has been a concern. We can go back to 2017 and, you know, it's crazy that they have yet to, you know, maybe this is the year from what I've heard, it could very well be, but they never really have solidified that center position when you think of how important it is to the quarterback and drafting Caleb Williams, the franchise guy. We'll see. I think that they have a Super Bowl winning center who, you know, that's an exciting thing. But, you know, to me, I like Darnell Wright. I think we all agreed with him last year. He did very well. And then it's kind of a let's see how they get on the field and do. And I'm with you, pessimistic. It's probably very good work.
I guess I was trying to think about it from a perspective of like, A, can they produce? Have they proven themselves to be productive? And B, are they available? And it seems like your right and your left tackle pass that test. I don't think Braxton Jones is the best left tackle in the game, but I think a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Personally, I think he's a little undervalued around the league. But I think you hit it right on the head, and it's very disconcerting when you have that many question marks up the middle and you have a rookie quarterback. I think they're way better off than they were when Poles took over, when they're hiring guys off the street 2 weeks before the season starts. I mean, I guess my question for you would be, just to follow up, is what is it do you think that's made it so difficult to build this unit? I don't think it's for a lack of trying. Is it for a lack of talent? Is it, what would you say would be the biggest difficulty in building an offensive line at the NFL level, especially for the Bears?
Yeah, no, I think when you look at it, I think it all comes down to availability, which is a huge thing that you brought up. And honestly, it comes down to availability. And then I think, you know, the years and when you get him into production. Like Nate Davis, when you got him, was at a high, you know, coming into a high range as a free agent. But there was that new, there's, you know, background coming from Tennessee where you could see some issues. If you watch the tape, you could see injury pro. You could see kind of taking time off the field. And then he gets here, and that's what we see. Now he had family issues, and we'll see what he does this summer. But, it's just – I think if you look at it, just as a – it's almost like a perfect mix. I always hate to bring up the Green Bay Packers, but you look at what they do, and you know, and I think Poles is kind of on that trajectory as we've seen. But you're constantly stocking up with young offensive linemen, building a back, and you're spending, you know, higher round picks. And I think that's something that Poles has shifted us to, is you're spending the third round, fourth round, fifth round pick instead of what we saw here forever, sixth, seventh, you know. Charles Leno, oh God, you know, this is your seventh round franchise left tackle. I can go on, but you see that the mindset I think has changed, and that's why I do agree with you. Poles, I think, has the team in a better position, at least on the line of scrimmage on the O line, because he's getting guys, bringing bodies in, investing, and now I think we'll see what works. You know, you're always going to have misses. I mean, we could go all night through the Bears' history of misses at the offensive line spot, but I do like how he's backfilling it, bringing in guys to be that second down developmental guy, like a Karan, you know, like a, you know, you just keep bringing those guys in, and I think it should get, we should be pretty good, pretty set soon, hopefully, as I say.
It feels like the Bears have targeted offensive linemen that can run and are athletic. Do you feel like that's going to fit as you think about Shane Waldron's offense and you think about what types of changes there might be on the offensive line? How do you see his impacts as far as the offensive line goes?
I think that kind of fits well, because I think like looking at what Seattle kind of did, I mean, they drafted they drafted that offensive tackle a couple of years ago, the third round. His name's escaped me right now. But he was big, athletic, could move. And I think that the guys that they have, I think if I could, you know, I wasn't, you know, obviously not in the room, but if I could think, I believe that's kind of where Poles went with these offensive coordinator interviews when he conducted them, is he wanted a guy that fit kind of who they already had coming in. And I think offensive line-wise, you know, he has athletic guys who can get out and move. You know, Darnell Wright, very big, but when you watch his tape at Tennessee, and then last year he can get out and he can move, he can run, he can get out on the edge. Braxton Jones, that was a key with him. So I think all these guys fit what Waldron did up in Seattle, and I think you have, you know, your tight end, your extra blockers coming in. That's what Waldron does, and I think the Bears just kind of already had those pieces. Now, hopefully Waldron can mix in and execute and get those guys in a better fit. But, you know, everything I see, like Bates is a guy who's athletic. Same thing with Shelton, because he ran the same scheme that Waldron had in L.A. Guys get out and run. They run that zone, that outside zone, wide zone scheme. So it's about moving. And I think that Waldron's style will fit them pretty well.
All right, so let's talk about the man of the hour, right? So Karan, tell us what are we getting with him? What kind of player is he? What kind of man is he? Like, just we want to know. We want to know more about this kid.
Well, he's an awesome individual, and I just saw him last week. He actually came out, and we had him talk with our offensive line at the school, and he kind of sat in and watched practice with us, and just getting to chat with him and. You know, he's a phenomenal young man. He was when I first, you know, met him. I was his coach his senior year in high school, coming over from an opposite school, able to get to coach him. And he's all about making himself the best he can be on and off the field. He's high character, great young man who's going to, you know, put in the work. You're never going to have to worry about him getting in trouble, never get off-field stuff, because he's all focused on how he can be the best offensive lineman in the game. And then when you saw what he did in college – just phenomenal. He got there during the COVID year and decided he was going to put muscle on, get bigger, get stronger, and know the playbook. And by year two, he was getting time on the field and playing for Yale. So I think he's going to come in and he's going to work as hard as anybody on that team to get on and produce and be a contributor as quick as he can. And I know there's some, you know, there was, you know, he's coming with a little bit of injury, but you know, I don't think he's going to have any issue when camp gets around. And I think at the end of the day, you look at him, I think it's exciting because, you know, he's also a Chicago guy. You know, we've got Sanborn, who's a Chicago guy in the Bears. There's a number of guys, Edmonds, you know, he, and knowing personally, knowing this, because we would talk about it back in 2019, we talked about the Bears and what a disaster it was. He's going to wear that every day he walks out on the field. And I think that is a pretty cool thing. And it's something that I think will help pay off for him to get on the field. Cause you know, he's going to be carrying the flag of the Bears, knowing the city, knowing the fan base, it's going to mean more for him, I think. And that's something that you don't see a lot in the NFL these days.
I love that Chicago connection. Absolutely love that.
Yeah. He's I keep thinking of that Leonardo DiCaprio meme, that One of Us, where they're all banging the table. He, you know, he just kind of feels like One of Us, and he's easy to root for. So coach, you mentioned you got the opportunity to coach him his senior year. Do you have any kind of additional anecdotes or cool stories of your time with him?
You know, it's always kind of interesting, you know, cause coming in as a brand new head coach, you're trying to build the relationships. And of course, I told him this, me and him talked about it last week. I was at the rival school, York, the year before, and I'm on the visiting sideline, and the Red Devil offensive line walks by me, and it's him and a bunch of big guys, and I'm like, oh, my where do they get these guys from? you just see Karan and he's got these long arms and it's like, Jesus, what it would be like to coach this kid? And then got lucky enough to make it happen the next year. But, I just always, he was a guy, the first thing I committed, he always wanted to, kind of lean on guys. And I'm like, dude, you have the longest arms I've ever seen. Please just stretch him out and hold this guy off. And believe me, you'll never regret it. And the cool thing is he got better the whole year. You just saw that. And I think like when we played, we played a big game against Bolingbrook that year. He wanted the ball behind him. He goes, coach, I'm blocking. Let's go get behind me and go. And I guess the coolest, one of the funnier story, he was always the guy that was picking up the receivers and the running backs after we scored a touchdown. It was always him. He'd be up there pressing them in the end zone, throwing them up in the end zone. So, I mean, he was just the ultimate team guy. He was sprinting down the end zone, picking up the receivers, throwing them, and just an all-around great dude. And like I said, by the end of the year that year, I mean, he was mauling guys. You watch him on the field, it's like, oh boy, there it goes. He's driving a guy 10 yards down the field, and here we go, and we're running right behind him. So, I mean, he was just a special player to be around in high school and then to follow him at Yale and see him, and then obviously draft night, just really cool all around.
Go ahead, Chels.
I was just getting one quick follow-up. We know he's a hometown guy. Did he ever talk about, the possibility of playing for the Bears someday? Was that ever something he thought of as a possibility or a dream?
I mean, because it was my dream, and I was never going to go play for the Bears. But I think, he would have loved to play for the Bears. And, like, when I would talk to him, the dream of the NFL was kind of there, and when I, talked to him, I'm like, dude, you could potentially be a guy that could go in the NFL if you can do X, Y, and Z, and it's going to come down to you. And, he was a guy that I could see would take that work ethic. And, he's like, oh, I'm going to love to play for, college. I know his big thing was always academics. It wasn't going to be, I want to go to the biggest school because I want to go to the right fit that's academics and all this stuff. And that's why he chose Yale. And I just think he always had a plan of each level he was at, I'm going to keep working and go and kind of where things fall. They fall. And, I talked to him, hearing his draft night story, the possibilities, the Bears were going to be there. I mean, it's just cool to hear him go through that and go, yeah, I was hyped up on draft night thinking it could happen. He also thought a couple teams could also take him before the Bears. So it was pretty cool.
What a great example too, for all of your current athletes to just be like, this is someone made it, right? Someone through our program went through and made it. You already answered my question. Jack and I talked about this with one of our friends who coaches at Naperville North. And he's like, that kid's going to play on set. How did he put it, Jack? But it was just like, knew. So yeah, you already answered it.
On the sidelines and Matt Lacoste is running sprints and, he's turned to each other like, that kid's going to play on Sunday. Yeah. And he did. And that was Karen the type of kid that looked like that, or it was more of a, like, he could potentially, but not automatic in your mind?
Well, I mean, absolutely. Like when I walked in, I saw him, like, this guy could play on Sundays. But, I think the biggest thing with, like, you could look at a receiver, quarterback, and go, this kid can go play on Sundays, and they may be able to just on their skill alone. With offensive linemen, though, it comes down to, do you stay healthy playing in college? Can you get strong enough to move a 315-pound defensive lineman? Then you got to be fast enough. And I always knew, Karan could be that type of a player. And then when you see the work ethic he added on top of it. When I saw him at Yale, when I saw his last game footage a couple years ago, sophomore year at Yale, I'm like, oh, yeah, he's going to get there. He's going. Because you just saw him destroying people. And because that's what you say. You see a kid run by on the side and you go, okay, he's going to be playing on Saturdays. He's going to be playing on Sundays. And then, Karan fit the bill, walking in the room. It's just then he added the other two elements onto it.
I have two off script. Hopefully that's okay. RD. One, I'm just thinking of two things. One, whenever the Bears draft somebody that perhaps is coming off an injury, everybody gets real nervous about that given our past. But I was also thinking quad injuries. I don't know as if I ever had an athlete that had a quad injury. Can you tell us anything about like where he's at? Do you have any concern or does he have any concern about his ability to be ready for camp?
When I saw him and just obviously seeing him in person, I have no concerns just because he was walking fine. He wasn't walking with the limp. He had, he, you know, obviously he's in therapy, he's in, you know, getting the therapy and all that stuff. But, no, I think he told me, and then when I saw him and you just see him move around, I don't think he's going to have any concerns. I think he'll be ready to go, come training camp. And, I think they had a right plan with him, trying to keep him, you know, out of OTAs so he could really heal. But, everything I spoke with him, he said he feels good. It's going to be good to go in July, and he's just working, rehabbing, getting it better, and he should be good to go.
And just based on what you know, watching him play in high school and college so far, is he the type of person that you see will stay at left tackle and challenge Braxton? Is he a guy that has the ability to swing to other spots if needed? What would be your assessment of his ability to perhaps fill various gaps on the line?
See, I think, I mean, he's your typical, in my opinion, and he's got the tackle frame. He's got the long arms. He's got the feet. He can move. I would like to see him continue to challenge at that left tackle spot. You know, when I talked to him, he said he's even, you know, a little bit bigger or the same height as Braxton Jones. So, you know, I was when I asked him that, I was, okay, that's pretty cool. But I'd love to see him play left tackle. I think he can. I think he's got the arm length and the feet to do that. But I think the great thing with him, and I think that's probably one of the main reasons they drafted him, is you can move him inside. You can kick him in over to right guard if, you know, Nate Davis isn't able to start practicing. Now you've got a guy that can go compete with him. He could come in at left guard if, say, Tevin goes down. I think he gives you all those levels of versatility where he can go and play left tackle and guard, and you don't have to sit there and just say, well, he's just a tackle. We're going to keep him there. I think he could be a very good tackle. I think he will be. But I think, you know, I think if you look at kind of how they bounced Kyle Long around all those years, moved him in, moved him out, I think you could do that, and I think he'd be just as fine at guard as he would be at tackle.
Sorry, Dangle, I don't want to explode your head right now, but I think that's a great point. And, you know, something I thought about a couple weeks ago is we did add to the line last year, but this year it feels like we added more depth too. And I think that's going to be a big part of training camp, is you're going to have guys challenging for jobs, right? And so I like that there are some guys there that could potentially push some of the starters if they're not performing or they're not available or, you know, they're wherever they are in their development. So I do think that that's going to be a big storyline at training camp. I'm looking forward to seeing it, because you do feel like, hey, if the starter, the projected starter doesn't step up, you've got some depth guys there that will challenge this year. Whereas last year you were like, man, I hope we don't have to rely on any of those guys after our starters. So I, you know, I'd be interested what y'all think about that.
No, I think that's huge.
Where, I mean, you've got Carter still developing, right? You've got, I mean, Borum is probably going to be a bubble guy, but he's still on the roster. I mean, so I think, yeah, I think you make a great point, Shells, in that we've been talking about, like, stack them deep, right? Stack them, yep, 2-3 deep. A, they get injured. B, they can compete against one another. You know, so I think it might be interesting. You know, it'd be nice for, like, the Bears is to have some type of, like, anywhere on the field, but especially on the offensive line. Wouldn't it be nice if we had somebody that just shows out in a way that we didn't expect? I mean, it'd be awfully nice if Tev could just stay healthy, because no one doubts he's a mauler. I mean, love that guy. So good, right? I mean, and I think is he on a contract year especially? Yeah. So, I mean, that'd be great for him as well. So it would be nice to have somebody that shows out in a way that we maybe didn't expect, especially, like we said earlier, because Caleb would really need it.
Mm-hmm. I hate to be a wet blanket. I'm going to be that guy, and I'm going to be a broken record center. I just wish that you were going into the season with, you know, 100%, this is your guy. This is a bona fide starter at center, right? We're not questioning who it's going to be, because that the guy behind him, right, the quarterback, like that, it should be like a sure-handed position to have, and we don't have that. And, you know, and that's one thing you guys know that I've been very, very critical. Ryan Poles has done so many phenomenal things in Chicago, but I think he's had a blind side for the offensive line, which is funny because he's a former offensive lineman. And so, you know, Coach, I know you and I, we've talked about that quite a bit, and I'm sure I'm probably echoing some of the things that you probably feel in that regard too, right?
Oh, absolutely. We think we've all gone back and forth with that. I mean, I absolutely agree with you. The center spot, and it's something as a high school coach, it's something that I battle with every year. You got to find a kid or a couple kids that can snap and can get it back to the quarterback. Because without that, the play's done. We saw the last few years with Cody Whitehair, with Lucas Patrick. I mean, I agree with you. I thought this offseason, great, we're going to finally go out and get that center. You know, the Bates thing, I don't know. To me, it's a lot like the Lucas Patrick plan. You're getting a guy who's played a lot of guard, who you're counting on to maybe be your center to snap. I like that they brought in a legit center to kind of compete with him. So now you're not just relying on, you know, Lucas, you know, the Bates guy. You're not relying on this guy to be your center. You've got a guy who's done it and won a Super Bowl. So I think that there's at least a little bit of some depth there that makes me a little bit more, you know, a little bit more at ease. But I think I'm with you. I think, you know, for the center spot to be one of the most valuable spots in that line, he's making your line calls. He's calling your pass protections with a rookie quarterback, particularly. I think that's a huge area. And, you know, Poles, I always get yelled at on Twitter to trust Ryan Poles. So I like what he's done on the O-line for the most part with a lot of the picks, but he's also had some picks that I have been blindsided, you know, flabbergasted by. So we'll see. I've heard very good things, positive reviews about Bates. I've heard very good things with that. I've also think that there's a potential that Shelton's your guy and you're going to kick Bates to right guard if Nate Davis doesn't show up. So, both guys I've heard are doing well. I've heard the other guy, Doug Kramer, another former Red Devil who's still on the Bears, that he's doing good in practice as a center. So maybe he's going to be your third guy. I don't know, but, I think that you're 100% right to feel that way, because I'm with you. I think that as the offensive line, we've got great stuff going with Darnell Wright and you know, Tevin Jenkins potentially, and Braxton Jones. Is he going to hit? Center still scares me.
Do you want to go with the overall season question, Ryan? Want to go there?
I am curious about this. I mean, and Shells, I don't know if you want to ask it, because I don't think that was necessarily answered. You know what I mean? Like, reports back, like, you know, Shells, do you want to ask it?
Yeah. I mean, well, do you want me to read the question on the screen? Yes. Is there anything, Coach, you can share with us, you know, about Karan's experiences so far? You touched on a little bit about, you know, how some of the guys are looking, but is there anything you can share with us about his experiences so far with the Bears?
You know, one of the things, like, you share with me that the big thing with, like, he was telling me Montez Sweat is an absolute, you know, monster. You know, he told me, and if you see that, it's on Twitter. If you see it on Twitter, there's a picture of me and him. I'm not the smallest guy in the world, but he's still taller than me. But, you know, he's not a small guy. And his first thing is like, you know, Montez Sweat is a dude. He goes, Montez Sweat's that dude. And he goes, you know, Bates, you know, he was telling me Bates is athletic. You know, all these guys are really, really focused. I think that's the one thing he shared with me that I can probably say that isn't going to get me an angry call or whatever, that the guys in the building are zeroed in. They're ready to go. You know, everybody from, you know, special teams guy, backup guy, everybody's got their mind focused on this year. You know, they all have Hard Knocks coming in. He said that everybody's kind of still up and down with the Hard Knocks idea. But he said that, you know, for him being a rookie going into Hallis Hall for the first time, it's one of the best facilities in the game. You know, he's telling me all this stuff. One of the best facility he's seen. He goes, everybody's focused on ball. And to that point, I told him, I said, well, maybe I have to really start changing my tune on Eberflus a little bit then. So I shared that to him. When we talked, I told him, I said, I think because you're on the Bears, I think I got to start dialing it back a little bit on Eberflus. So, you know, he laughed at me. He goes, yeah, I hear you, Coach. So,
but it's curious.
He's got everybody up there. He says got the focus on being dialed in this year, which is good to hear.
I was curious if you could answer this question from an offensive line coach and former player perspective. what are the chances of someone like Austin Booker being good out of the gate at defensive end? I was talking a little bit with Michael Halitek about this last night, and I just, to me, if you've got a Sunday ready defensive end, he's going to be drafted earlier than Booker was. I'm not sure like your average everyday person fully understands like the amount of technique and time and work that has to go in for someone like Austin Booker to be able to beat Darnell Wright. So I was just curious, like, what would you expect out of someone like Austin Booker in the first year?
You know, I think that that's a good point that you say there. I think, honestly, I think he could have gone higher than he got drafted. I do. But I think his biggest benefit is he's going to be opposite Montez Sweat. It's almost the Khalil Mack effect from a couple of years. So his biggest benefit is going to be there. I think, though, once he realizes, though, that you're going up against an NFL offensive tackle, I think that that's when he's going to learn his game, because they're going to lock him up. I think particularly early on, Tennessee, the offensive line for the Titans, it's a pretty stout unit. So whatever he goes into game one with, I think it's going to be a real wake-up call. But I think, honestly, he comes in and he gives you, you know, pressures. If he can be a guy that's going to be able to, you know, maybe make a couple tackles, you know, stop the run a little bit. Who knows? If he can really surprise you and get back there and take advantage of Montez Sweat being double teamed in the focus and he gets you some sacks, I think that's all great. I think if he shows you by the end of the year that he could be counted on, I think that's a huge benefit. I think that I'm not expecting him to go out there and be rookie of the year. But if he could go out and, you know, compete and really be a guy that you look at and go, okay, he was able to, you know, fight up against the NFL offensive lineman. He was able to get back there and make some plays. I think he's pretty good. He's going to develop going into year two. So that's what I'm looking for. I think he could be a good player, though, just based on you watch him at Kansas and see him as a player. I think he could be a fine player.
Coach, the question that we all want to ask, we all want to know where every Bears fan is at. So your level of excitement for the Chicago Bears this upcoming season.
Oh, it's a hard one. And it goes back to my thing with the head coach. It's just something that still catches me, even though I'm trying to warm up to it. I'm going to say I'm very, very pessimistic is a word, probably a little bit more optimistic. I'm thinking that this team should at the very bottom be, you know, a 9 to 10 win team. I think that should be your floor, even with a rookie and a rookie quarterback. And I think he brings kind of a level of excitement that I don't think we even really were expecting to see with Justin Fields. And I think he walks into a situation that's fantastic. And I think that they should be a pretty exciting team on offense to watch, and defensively, you know, they should be able to go out there and start dominating. So I would be very happy to see them at that 9 win mark and kind of at that, you know, middle range of I want to see him prove it to me first. You know, all of us Bears fans, you know, I've gone into seasons where it's like, all right, we're going to go and 10 wins and dominate. And then at the end of the year, you're like, God, this is ridiculous. And well, I'm cautiously optimistic. There we go. That's the word I'm looking for. Cautiously optimistic. But I do think offensively, this is going to be one of the best offenses, should be one of the best offenses we've seen in a long time. You know, who knows? My guy Eberflus, we'll see.
10 wins with Flus is like 13 or 14 with a regular coach. So that's not bad at all.
You're right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that would be, well, he'd be
amazing
for sure. He'd have a contract extension for sure at that point. But I'm very vocal. I'm a Harbaugh guy. I'm a big Jim Harbaugh guy. So seeing him out in LA is hurting, but I do think this team should be good. I'm excited. I'm cautiously optimistic, but excited still to see him get on the field. So
Coach Ryan McHugh, folks, if you're not following him on Twitter, I know some people call it X. I'm not calling the Sears. I'm not calling the Willis Tower the Sears. It's the Sears Tower, right? It's Twitter. So if you want to follow him, make sure that you get him right there. He's got his app for you. Coach, we cannot thank you enough for your time. It is absolute blast having you back on the podcast. We want to, you know, just first of all, a huge good luck to the Red Devils. Now that our good friend Fitz is no longer with the Dukes, it's going to shake things up a little bit. I'll be very curious to watch your conference this season. And also, if you talk to Karan, let him know the guys of the Bear Down Chicago podcast say good luck this season and Bear Down.
Absolutely. No, I love coming on with you guys, talking to you guys, and on Twitter, our exchanges, you know, me and Jack tortured Bears fans over, or Sox fans over here, excuse me. But, no, I love coming on. I appreciate you guys reaching out, having me back on. I apologize for the technical difficulties early on, but
no worries.
I already did tell Karan about you guys. I was coming on. I told him about you guys. So he gave you guys a shout out. He said, thanks. He said, he's looking forward to being a Bear, and I'm sure he'll reach out when he hears this, but, again, thank you guys. You guys are the best show. I listen to you guys and follow you guys on Twitter. And anything Bears, you guys are the guys I go to. So,
oh, Coach, that means a lot to us. Like, truly, truly it does, especially with someone we know knows the game as well as you do. And so thank you so very much for your time.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you guys so much.
Take care, Coach.
Thank you, Coach.
He's good, man.
Yeah, that was great.
I love having high school coaches, but there's some high school coaches, like, you know, when you're sitting here like, okay, we got it, technique. And he sees big picture stuff. I love that about him. I absolutely love having that dude on. I'm more excited about Karan now than I was before. Like, I wasn't saying that I wasn't excited about him, but I just getting to know the high character stuff, which seems to be, you know, a big thing for Flus and for polls. And so that's awesome. What were you guys thinking?
I got really giddy. I know he's got the body for left tackle and you know, that's where he's probably the best fit, but I did get really giddy when I heard he has the possibility of kicking inside and maybe getting the game out of here. that got me pretty excited because Lord knows we need it. But no, that was great. I would love to have the ability to watch an NFL game from the perspective of an offensive line coach. Like, I think that'd just be, you know, a really cool perspective. And obviously, I don't have any experience in that regard, but I think that'd be a cool way to watch a game.
Jack, we just really quick before you throw in your 2 cents, we got to go and watch Coach McHugh's Red Devils play. I think that would be so much fun just to go to a game. Maybe somehow, some way we can get his attention at like halftime or something. I know he's a busy guy during the game, but just to say hi and cheer him on. I watched one game where he was coaching, but I think it would be fun if we went together.
Absolutely. Yeah. He'll be grinding film and making adjustments. So he probably wouldn't be able to get his attention, but maybe after the game, that'd be great. I'd love to do that. There's some great football that's played in the Chicago suburbs. You know, it's just some of the best football, really. It's so fun to watch. And yeah, I mean, I think it is exciting with Kieran. I mean, he's 6'5", 326 pounds. I mean, the guy's like, he's a monster of a dude. I can't wait to go and see him and the other offensive linemen, you know, just line up. It's always kind of a treat to just go stand by the ropes or the fence and take a look at the offensive line. And I will always remember being, you know, up in Wisconsin for a camp. And I still say this to the day that, like, when I saw Keith Van Horn, I didn't even know humans could be as big as Keith Van Horn's right thigh was as big as I was at that point in my life. The guy was, they're just monsters, absolutely massive.
Why are you looking at Keith Van Horn's thighs?
Well, I mean, they were,
why wouldn't
milky white hairy, you know, I mean, it's
Jack, I think your point is incredibly well made. Is you watch these guys on TV and you forget how massive human beings that they are, right? And that's a big part of it. Boys, there's so much to talk about. Jack, I know you and Brendan got to do a phenomenal job breaking down the Bears draft class. Shells, you and I, we didn't get a chance to talk about it. So I just want to throw these names up here really, really quick. And, you know, is a very interesting draft class for sure. Shells, just your quick, please quick, because we got so much other stuff to talk about. Just any thoughts, that things that stood out to you, positive or negative?
No, I mean, what stood out to me was that the Bears didn't Bears it up. They like made the obvious picks. They didn't try to get too cute. They didn't try to be the smartest team in the room. They picked Caleb Williams and they picked Roma Dunze, and that was what they should have done. So I was happy to see that, even though that's not a foregone conclusion. The Austin Booker pick I liked. I do a little bit get some Travis Gibson vibes, maybe, you know, still a little bit raw, but I'm very excited about that pick. And the punter, I mean, like, Jack, you know, we know we've needed a punter on this team for a long, long time. And I just, too many playoff games I've watched, you know, top tier punters really flip the field and have a huge impact on a game. And so, you know, I think that that position is a little bit more important than maybe a lot of fans gave it credit for. And so I'm not upset with them drafting a punter that high, especially when it's a guy that's got a leg like Taylor.
This gives me just a quick chance to talk about Australian rules football. That's that I'm telling you guys, I know you're not going to watch. I've made peace with this, right? I've got my Port Adelaide jumper right there. Right. But I'll just say that those dudes, they grow up kicking the football, right? Like that's the thing in which they do. And so it has become a second nature. And there's a couple times where like they're players coming in his direction and he's able to move and punt, right? Like this dude, and he flips the field. I've never said this in my life. I'm excited about a Chicago Bears punter.
It is exciting for sure. I mean, I said last night, like he can do things with a football like Phil Mickelson can do with a wedge. You know, the ways that he's able to drop it and hit it on various parts of his foot to put all types of spin on it and to be able to make it stick and bounce back towards the original line of scrimmage and then deaden it's really exciting. Connor went to a couple of games at Iowa. He said that when he was at those games, that like the quarterback would come out, the star receiver would come out, and it would just kind of be like mild applause. And then dude would come out, punter would come out, and the not even exaggerating, Connor said, place went wild for him. So he's like kind of got some cool star power too, which I think is a lot of fun because I mean, like the Bears need more of that type of fun stuff. I mean, obviously, I hope he pans out mostly as a punter, but if he's also got some cool superstar status, that'd be fun too.
Austin Booker is the one that I'm really curious. Jack, I think your question was really good. You're right. There were some injury things and a little bit late to the table in terms of college and where he played. But it's seemingly that people are talking him up a lot, which it's still way too early to get excited about a player like that. We're not even in pads yet. I'm really curious to see where it's going. Boys, let's talk Hard Knocks. I can't believe, like, what world are we living in, right? The Bears have avoided this forever, so its entirety. But they're going to be on Hard Knocks. How are you guys kind of feeling about this? Let's go Shells, Jack, and I'll finish it up.
I wonder how behind the curtain, you know, like, is it going to be as revealing as some of the other episodes of Hard Knocks or the other seasons, you know, that like the McCaskies are an institution in the NFL. I know they've fought being on Hard Knocks for a long, long time. Is there maybe a handshake agreement that, look, you guys have to do it, but maybe not to the level as some other teams? The Bears have always sort of watered down their content, what they've allowed the fans to see. So, I mean, it's cool. I'm looking forward to seeing it, but I'm not getting my hopes up that it's going to be as, you know, tantalizing as maybe some of the other seasons. We'll see. I think it could be a little bit muted, a little bit boring, but maybe I'll be proven wrong and it'll be a shit show.
It's interesting while you were saying that, I was thinking that same thing. I was thinking, you know, Midwest nice, you know, bland Bears. Like this is not the Jets. It's not the, you know. And then I thought, you know what though? Caleb Williams. I mean, Caleb Williams is an international star. He's in freaking Paris, France right now for Fashion Week. So if there's anything that like that's maybe something that we're just not used to with the Chicago Bears, but it looks as though he is that type of level of like A-list or star that my guess is they're gonna focus it heavily around that dude.
You're right. He's a star. And the way in which, Jack, and again, you talked about this a little bit on the Halitech show last night, was just like he's handled everything with with perfection. It's just he's got to show, can he be a quarterback on the field? Can he handle what defenses throw him? I think you said that so well. And that's the thing that really stuck with me about your interview last night. He's handled things significantly better than like all the worry, the things that we heard, him being a diva. Now, could that change when things go south? If they go south, I think is absolutely a possibility. But I think you're right. He's handled things with such grace and dignity, and just he seemingly has embraced everything about being a Bears player that previous two quarterbacks didn't do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I really think probably what Coach McHugh said there at the end is where I'm at with the Bears just in general. I mean, the only thing left really now is to prove it. It's going to be on the grass. And, you know, that's the thing that is going to be so, I think, just important. And there's going to be so much like anxiety for Bears fans because we've been waiting for so long. And it might be hard to be a little bit patient with a rookie quarterback. But like ultimately, like, we need to see this come together on the field. And we need to see performance, and we need to start seeing, like, especially offensively, like the complexity of all other NFL offenses. That's what I think will be really interesting to watch, and disappointing if I was going to say, did you do the bear claw? I thought you did the bear claw there.
I did.
Nice. You just kind of slid that in. Just leave that alone, Shells. I'm so anxious. It's going to be so difficult. Like, I'm sure I'll go to a camp day. I'm sure I'm going to probably go to a preseason game. It's going to be really hard to wait to watch the Chicago Bears.
You can't set him up like that.
I know.
You
I can't realized
do
that.
It.
I realized it.
I may have been away for a while, Jack, but that part of my game is still sharp. Anyway. Is anybody else really like nervous about Floose being in front of the camera that much? Like I'm worried we're gonna get some cringy moments from a really kind of corny football coach. I mean, like, he's a nice guy, but I just feel like we're gonna get a lot of cliches, we're gonna get a lot of acronyms, right. We're gonna get some embarrassing nicknames, and there may be a couple eye roll moments. Just like, I hope we don't, you know, I hope that doesn't become a story, like, where
If the focus is on him and his personality, and, you know, it lets the Bears play well and other storylines go to the wayside, then I'm all for it. But, you know, I still am. That's another dude. He's got to prove it that he's not going to continually have his team blow leads, you know, late in games. And, you know, I don't know. That he's not just a defensive coordinator.
Right. On like specifically what you said, Shells, about Hard Knocks is a good question. And I think I can't remember who the source was, but our guy Brendan retweeted an interview with him. And he was talking a little bit about what he learned specifically, like, in post-game press conferences, because I think he got a little overwhelmed and started going into word salad there for a while. And I do just think he's like a really introspective dude. And he basically just said, you know, what I learned is you have to stick to who you are. And like, even when things get hot in the kitchen and like there's stressful moments and maybe the team's not playing so well, you stick to who you are and who you know yourself to be. And I do think there is some proof that when he chooses to do that, then there's quite a bit of confidence, at least in that building. And of course with Captain Floose.
Are you saying you got to be you?
I'm not saying that, because I just threw up in my mouth when you said it.
I saved it. I just wanted Captain Floose, Sarah Spain. Every once in a while, I'll see her on Instagram or Twitter, whatever it is. And then I'll like, oh, what's Sarah Spain up to? Captain Floose. It's pretty amazing when Sarah Spain gives you, nickname. I mean, that's got to stick around, right?
Yes.
Boys, anything else you want to say about Hard Knocks? Because I there's other things I definitely want to chat about. Okay. So the next thing is, this is messing with my brain. August 1st is really not that far away. That's when we're going to see the Chicago Bears play a football game. Yes, now I understand it is preseason, but it's the Hall of Fame game. Devin Hester going in is just something that just makes me so excited. And that leads me into talking about, we've got a new kickoff rule. I feel like we haven't talked about that at all. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I missed it. But I'm genuinely very excited to see it change, because it quickly became one of the most boring parts of the game when they moved the kicker forward a little bit, right? And it's touchback, touchback, touchback. Now this kind of brings a little level of excitement to it. The Bears bring back DeAndre Carter, which, you know, could mean that Velus is going bye-bye, because Carter, I mean, at least in 2022, had a 500 plus yard receiving year. So just, there's a lot of stuff there. Hall of Fame, kickoffs. What are you guys kind of thinking about all this?
I mean, we talked a little bit about last night. It is cool to see the Bears get some things right when it comes to like and get some, like, I don't know, some feel good moments, you know, to be able to see Hester go in. And it looks like they're going to do all the right things for Mongo McMichael, even though he won't be there. But I think it was, I think Michael said that that Jared Payton was going to introduce him, I believe. And so, you know, that's really cool. Last time Jared Payton did that, it was for his own father. It's nice. Like, there's some feel good moments in there that Bears fans, I think, really are looking for and deserve. As far as the kickoff rule, I mean, even that is a pretty darn good moment. The NFL sometimes gets things right, you know, for them to be able to take a look at that and say, you know what, we neutered that play. It's worthless, basically. Let's do something about it. And being willing to take the risk to do what the XFL has done, I think is great. I mean, probably the happiest guy on the roster is Velus Jones Jr., because if he does get kept, it will be kept. It will be because of that. He really did have a pretty good year. I'm done fully defending him, don't worry, but he did have a pretty good year on KR last year. But I love that they brought in some competition, because I'm not sure if they have their punt returner and their kick returner solidified. And so, like you were saying earlier, Shells, same with that position. Let's bring in some dudes and see who the best is. I think the one thing I would say is, you know, I can't, what was the name of the guy that returned for us last year that's no longer on the roster?
Man, the guy that they signed from the Bengals.
Yeah.
Where's Brendan Shagrue?
I know, right? I mean, I just liked him because he at least, like, seemed to make good decisions. He wasn't a liability, but it would be nice to be able to have somebody that makes good decisions, knows when to fair catch appropriately on a punt, is very secure in catching a punt. But then also maybe is a threat when he catches a punt. I know that's asking a lot, but at the very least, I'm fully on board with a guy that makes the good decisions and can secure the catch.
Yeah, I'm very excited about Mongo and Hester. Beyond that, from an offseason perspective, nothing really matters to me until September 8th. Like, I've learned my lesson as a Bears fan to not get too excited or too down. This season, like, I'm not putting any stock into the preseason. I don't care how he's doing in practice. I don't care if he's doing great. I don't care if he's doing poorly. I've seen too many off seasons where you get a report, this guy looks great, this guy looks terrible, and it never works out that way. And like we've been saying, I think all show, a lot of prove it moments this year, right? A lot of people have a lot to prove. And the Bears as an organization, to me, have a ton to prove. The moves are great. I'm happy. They made some logical, you know, moves this offseason. They made what I think are the right moves. But until they get on the field and it all comes together and I see them actually win games, I could care less what happens this offseason on the field. Like, preseason games don't matter. Practices don't matter. OTAs don't matter. Who, you know, hits a net? Who does this? Who does that? I don't care. Win games in the season, and that's what matters to me.
Shells, I'll say this, you know, probably because I'm not a baseball fan, I don't have a lot going on. My Australian rules football team, which I watch once a week, you know, that's the other sport that I get really into, but I don't really have much sports wise and so I genuinely get excited for preseason, but not because I think it's some like I don't know, window into how they're going to be in the season, but rather it's a chance to kind of look at the depth of the team and watching always the bottom rosters. Like, there's one kid that's on this team right now. We either don't know his name or, like, we've heard his name and he's going to play exceptionally well. And I always find myself, you guys know this, rooting for that kid. I want to see that kid play well and maybe make the team. And if he doesn't make the team, you know, maybe you go somewhere else. It's just, you know, there's something about this, and maybe it's cheesy or corny, I don't really care. It's just that you're watching dudes, like, especially those bottom roster dudes, live out their dream. That the last time that they may ever put on pads and catch a touchdown or throw a touchdown or whatever, you know, block for a touchdown, like, ever again in their lives. And so I think, you know, there's something about preseason football that it's like, okay, cool. I saw the starters. Everybody knows that they're done, right? Like, it's cool. Like, they played a snap. They weren't really even trying. But some of those bottom of the roster kids are playing as hard as they possibly can. And I love watching that.
No, I think that is fun. I mean, and I think I lean more towards what Shell said. Just in I think about the year that the Bears destroyed Seattle in the preseason, and we were like, oh my gosh, Seattle must be so terrible. And then Seattle, of course, went on to have a really fine year that year. So I do think it is a much ado about nothing. But it's all about like picking your spots, I feel like, in terms of what you want to consume with the media, because like I think a lot of it is BS. But I'll just give you an example that I think is personally kind of interesting. Like one of the things that they talked a little bit about at this past camp was that that Caleb Williams hadn't been, you know, basically calling a cadence since high school. In college, it was all clap cadence. So in other words, he wasn't verbally calling out, you know, blue, right, you know, X slash, like, you know, there's the Sam, there's the Mike. Like, there's a lot of, you hear like Peyton Manning or some of the others, there's a lot of verbal commands happening at the line of scrimmage, including a cadence and a snap. And so it was completely silent at USC based on like a clap. And that was the only way that they knew to actually snap the ball. So in other words, I just personally find it interesting to like see that one of the things that he needs to learn then is to come back into this professional level game and be able to like master a cadence and be able to do that. I don't really have any like fears that he's going to be unable to do that, because he seems like a really intelligent guy. And I'm just mostly glad that we're not talking about which foot he has forward in his like stance, or, I mean, the guy just looks like he plays quarterback in his sleep. He just looks the part in a lot of ways. So I think once he gets the cadence down and he gets his processing down and his decision-making down, you know, again, these people that are just like, oh, he's going to be the biggest bust, I don't know what you're watching. I mean, he might struggle and he may not be as great as we hope that he's going to be, but I would be shocked if he straight up like bust.
Do we want to talk about what Justin Fields had to say while on the Pittsburgh Steelers, or do we want to talk about Justin Fields' struggles to consistently throw balls to open receivers? You know, the only thing I'll say is, you know, it's all rumors, and I haven't seen anything that's truly like, I don't know, substantiated, like something that's like really great reporting. But it does, you know, there's been multiple rumors that Justin Fields was not the great teammate that I thought that he was, and that I painted him out to be. And I hope that's not the case, because I really like the guy a lot. And I wished him well, and I hope that he would play well in Pittsburgh, and that he would what's the whack job number three? Russell Wilson. Oh, there you go. Russell Wilson. I think he would take his job, but it does not look like that's going to be the case. Anything you guys want to say about that? Because I just said my piece.
As far as it relates to the Bears, in my opinion, it just increases Ryan Poles' lore in my mind. The fact that he was able, as we've got some time to look at that decision now, the fact that he made that decision to me says a lot about Ryan Poles. I really do think that they looked at the guy and they thought, we have given this guy, again, some people would say not a great opportunity. I understand that. But bottom line, they said, this is not the guy we're going to pay in the future to be our future franchise quarterback. We've got a number one pick. There seems to be one of the best quarterbacks out there. Let's go ahead and pull the trigger on that. And the more I've been listening to, like, you know, experts talk, that's the way that business needs to be done. And if Caleb Williams doesn't work out, then you spend another number one draft pick on a quarterback. And so that's the way of the league now. And I feel like, in my opinion, the decision by Poles was a good one. And I just feel like in retrospect, it was a ballsy choice to make. It had to be difficult, and he made it. And I think the Bears are going to be better for it. So I'm pleased about that.
Shells, anything?
No.
Okay.
I love Justin Fields. He's not on the team anymore. I don't want to talk about Justin Fields anymore.
Okay. Yeah, fair. No, that's totally fair. That's one of those things. And the same thing, I wished Mitch Trubisky well when he left here. Kyle Orton, you know what I mean? Like, you play for the Bears. I wish you well, as long as you don't go and play well for the Green Bay Packers, Julius Peppers. All right. So boys, that's everything on my list. And, you know, I don't really have any listener questions or anything like that. Anything that I missed that you guys wanted to chat about, anything at all?
One thing I would just mention is, and I can maybe ask Michael to pull it up for us, Halitech. He put up a list of sort of like all the people that are replacing folks from last year, for instance, you know, like Gil being replaced by the punt god, for instance, or Eddie Jackson being replaced by Byard, or, you know, Swift replacing, you know, last year's running back, as you just kind of like Montgomery being replaced by Roma Dunze. And as you just did the whole list, like down the line, it was exciting. It really was, in terms of just roster improvement across the board. It is undeniable now, I think, to look at the Bears and think anything other than we are, I mean, it's honestly got to be one of the most talented teams on paper that we have seen, you know, since 85. People might want to make cases for like the Brandon Marshall Bears or the 08 Bears, but I just don't think across the board that I've seen going into a season a team laced with as much talent and especially offensive weapons who can score now and change the entire complexion of a game. I've never known a Bears organization to have perfect. Yes, that is it. And that, yeah. I mean, that's exciting, dudes. Look at that. Good call, it's, man.
Yeah. So for all of our audio only listeners, we're pulling up a tweet from Ben Devine, who is at Chicago_NFL. Justin Fields, now you got Caleb Williams. Deonta Foreman, now you got DeAndre Swift. Darnell Mooney, now you have Keenan Allen. That's one that I'm
That's awesome.
It blows my mind. We have Keenan Allen. Like, just awesome. Like take a second. Yes, I'm excited about Roma Dunze. Yes, I'm excited about DJ Moore, but like I don't know, it's just almost like it got swept underneath the rug. Like, oh yeah, there's Keenan Allen, Equanimeous St. Brown. Now you have Roma Dunze. Roma Dunze is technically your third wide receiver, right? And dude was an absolute stud in college. Robert Tonyan. Now you have Gerald Everett. That's a huge, huge addition. Now the Lucas Patrick, Ryan Bates one is one that I think we already talked about that I'm not overly, you know, we'll see. Calm yourself, Jack, here on this next one. Eddie Jackson. Now you have Kevin Byard. Yeah, that's a huge one.
I've heard great things about camp with him, and I'll let you finish the list, but I've heard great things about him. Like, one of the things they did say Eddie Jackson was great at was being a leader. Like, the defensive back dinners were at his house. He was a signal caller. It sounds like Byard has really just, like, he has slid into that opportunity in a really positive way. Again, hopefully he plays better. He was in a terrible situation with the Philadelphia Eagles last year. I'm hoping he's got some good football play left in him.
And then Trenton Gill to Torrey Taylor. Trenton Gill was he was bad. He was a bad punter.
He was
really bad.
And they
drafted him. So,
yeah.
Boys, this has been a fun episode. As for all of us here, right, like you guys know, we're going to be very sporadic in how we send out episodes. We do want to do a around the NFC North couple of episodes. We've got some other guests that we're really looking forward to coming up. Boys, before we get out of here, anything else left other than shout-outs?
Have patience this season. I know there are a lot of high expectations, but please, you know, like he's a rookie quarterback still. He's going to have ups and downs. We don't know what the interior of the offensive line is going to look like. And if that is not solidified, that is going to make his development his rookie year that much more difficult. So just kind of look at the macro, as Jack likes to say, look at all the things going on this season when you're evaluating whether he's successful or not, and just have some patience for the kid, because I know a lot of people think he's going to step in and be year two Patrick Mahomes, and he's uber talented, but let's just have some patience and let this kid develop into the franchise quarterback we think he can be.
It's so well said. Yeah. He's going to struggle at times. He's going to make some really bad throws because he's a rookie, and it's going to happen. All right, boys, let's get to shout outs. For shout outs, we're going to go Shells, Jack, and I will finish it up. Shout-outs, boys.
I'm going to shout-out you guys. I missed you. I haven't seen you in forever, and it's been awesome to be back on the show. It's been a long, long time since I've been on here. I know things have been crazy hectic, and you guys have just kept churning out great content and great podcasts while I have been MIA. I would say the podcast has improved dramatically. I was joking on Twitter the other day about how you know, that's probably why the ratings are up so high, because I have not been on. But you guys are awesome. I love doing this with you, and you guys are outstanding at what you do. And I just want to say I missed you all.
Thanks.
Oh, man, that's a great shout out. Just really quick, Jack, before you go, yeah. Mark, we're trying to figure it out, but I don't know if it's going to happen. But there is an awesome crew of UK Bears fans are going to be over there, and so you get a chance to meet up with some cool people. Jack, Let's hear it, buddy. What's your shout out? Who are you giving your shout outs?
Perfect lead in. So once again, shout out the guys from Roar of the Lions. They are Detroit fans, yes, but hosted a really nice divisional analysis podcast that they asked me to be a guest on to be the voice of the Bears for at least that particular episode. Shout out to Michael Holitek, who I mentioned several times tonight, who had me on the show last night, and that was great. Shout out to my sister, who fucking beat cancer, guys. You guys know, awesome. You know, it's been a tough road. We lost my brother-in-law, her husband, Kevin, to stomach cancer. Shortly after that, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And you're just like, holy crap, how can this even be happening? And she went through it all, man, chemo, radiation, the surgery, and she rang the bell the other day. So shout out to my sister, Jody Sundberg, for beating freaking cancer.
That's awesome, man.
Thanks.
Dude, seriously, much love. That is absolutely wonderful. I'm going to shout out Steve Collins from the Roar of the Lions. He is a UK Detroit Lions fan, but truly a really good guy. You know, Jack, you'll appreciate this. We had a couple book recommendations, and I don't have time to read right now because I've got two children under 3 years old. I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off. But I sent him a couple books, and he picked one up right away, and he's been texting me, and it's been so much fun to go back and forth and like, oh, my God, yeah, I love that. I love that. I love that. And so it's just that's it. That's my one shout out that's going out to him. Folks, like, I don't know what to say other than we are just so thankful that in the middle of June on a Wednesday night, we're hanging out with 200 plus people talking Chicago Bears. It means a lot to us. We know that you can get your Bears content anywhere, and you have chosen to hang out with us tonight. It means more than any of us can say. We do work really, really hard at this, but you know, with this off season, we've been taking a lot of time off, which is good. And I think it's good because we're stoked. And I think Jack has said this a lot, is there is this a little bit of optimism, cautious optimism, and that if the Bears are more fun to watch this upcoming season, we're going to have a lot more fun because we covered a couple really difficult seasons to watch. And I just remember thinking, like, I don't really want to necessarily prioritize my time to not only watch this team, but then to put in a lot of work towards the podcast. But you know, it's just, it's something that we love to do. And most importantly, that we love to do together. You know, these are guys that, our text thread is going all the time, and we're just so thankful to hang out with all of you. You can help us out. You can share this with a friend. You can get subscribed before the season starts. Get subscribed right away. You can hang out with us whenever you have the opportunity. Go back, audio only, listen to the podcast. You're hanging out in your car, whatever it is that you want to do. Folks, please hit us with a 5-star review. Hit like, hit subscribe. Do all those things. Could really, really help us out for all of us here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast. So that is Patrick Sheldon, Jack Wright, Brendan Chagrou, Logan Bradley, Cam Ellis. Yeah, Cam Ellis is part of the show too. I am your host, Ryan Dangle. Folks, thank you so very, very, very much. And as always, bear down, Chicago.